Hi, listener, and welcome to this very special end-of-year edition of Good Copy, Bad Copy, the B2B Copywriting Podcast. We're about to round up the best B2B content of 2019 and reveal what you have voted into your top 12 of the year. We've had nominations from Kerry O'Shea Gorgone from Marketing Profs, Maureen Blandford at GiveSmart, John Lonsdale at Octopus Group, and many, many more besides. We've collated a list of 17 favourites, and before the end of the show, we'll tell you what you have voted as your number one, the best of the best. I'm David Maguire from Radix Communications, and here, helping me tiptoe through all the many nominations, is our founder and CEO, Fiona Campbell-Howes.
Hello.
Hi, Fiona. How are you?
I'm excited.
Yeah,
it's always really exciting to do this, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of the nominees overall this year?
I think there's loads of really good stuff here and lots of it that I hadn't seen through the year. So it was really nice to see a lot of these things. And I think it's a really nice mix of stuff as well. So, you know, you might think, oh, you know, podcasts are really hyped at the moment, so it'll all be podcasts, or this might finally be the year of videos, so it'll all be videos, but it's not, is it? There's a really nice mix of stuff.
It's a blend, although I think, spoilers alert, I don't think there are any blog posts in the top 17, which is slightly sad for me because I love a blog.
I love a blog as well. Do you think the writing's on the wall then for blogs?
I think this is
a sign of things to come.
I think when everyone else zigs, zag. So I think next year it'll all be blog posts, and I'm going to continue zagging for the last 10 years. Okay, before we get into the list, I would like to make an apology. It seems our podcast at radix-communications.com email was down for a little while recently. So I'm really sorry if you've been trying to send us a Christmas message or another comment or a question and got a bounce back message. Thanks, Kasem Jalidi, for persevering and bringing it to our attention. You are a lifesaver. Okay, let's get on with the best content, shall we?
The five runners up.
To start with, let's reveal which of the finalists didn't make it into your top 12. I know it's cheesy to say it, but just making the shortlist is definitely an achievement in itself. So congratulations, as well as the commiserations, to DXC's Cloud Series videos, Korn Ferry's Talent Shift Report, Microsoft's Work X Life video, Rockwool's Seven Strengths of Stone test series, and Sophos's 2020 threat report.
Do you know, I was surprised that Sophos report didn't make it into the kind of big nominations.
Really?
the ones that were most voted for. Yeah, because that's one. You know, I was looking through a lot of these last night, actually, quite late, and I thought, oh, God, massive report now I've got to look at. And I started looking at Sophos's report. I thought, wow, this is actually really interesting, and I got really sucked into reading about all these, like, weird bits of malware you can get on your phone and how they work. So I like that one.
Yeah, they do such good content in general. It's so helpful. I was really surprised that that Rockwool didn't get more votes. Just that series was just so much fun. You know, we're going to show how good this stuff is by getting our boss and getting his beloved car and attacking it with a flamethrower.
That was great. And I think it has won awards, that one, hasn't it?
Sure, yeah, it has. Yeah. So I'm sure they won't be too heartbroken about this. And I really liked the way that the DXC videos were, like, deliberately unpolished.
Mm.
You know, they took someone who really knew his stuff and talk to, you know, the audience like an expert-to-expert kind of level. And he's very clearly, and there's one point where he goes, there's this, I can't tell you what to do about this problem, I can just reveal it for you. And it was just so, it was so nice. And, you know, I was slightly sad that those ones didn't make it in. But do you know what? We've got 12 really good contenders. Speaking of which.
In 12th place, The Marketer's Guides to Copywriting by Dot Digital.
Naturally, we love good copywriting advice. This guide series was nominated by Angela Catin at Interalia Marketing. Hello, Angela.
Hi, Angela.
And Angela said, perhaps slightly controversial given your business, but I really liked what Dot Digital did with The Marketer's Guide to Copywriting parts 1, 2, and 3. easily digestible guides, visually engaging and practical. Well, I think there's no controversy at all from my point of view, Angela. I think there's always lots of room for anyone to help explain the importance of good writing, and that the voters clearly agreed. Fiona, what did you think?
No, I really like this, and I agree, no controversy. I think somebody was saying on LinkedIn the other day about copywriters and how we're always kind of happy to promote each other's work and big each other up and recommend each other for jobs. So, you know, this is just part of that. I really like this guide because it shows rather than tells. And so, you know, you've got advice on, you know, how to take what your customers are saying on the internet and turn that into marketing copy. And they actually show you how you go through those stages. And I really like that. So, yeah, really practical piece of work.
In 11th place, the Marketer Happiness Report by Marketing Profs.
This study was put forward by Kerry O'Shea-Gorgone of Marketing Profs. Hi, Kerry, and thank you for that. She said, the study looks into what makes marketers tick and what some of the happiest and most successful marketers are doing to stay at the top of their game. Original research is always a good place to start with content, and this is a meaty old chunk of it at 32 pages. But I always found it's nice that it's got that nice kind of Anne Handley kind of writing style, so it's never hard going. Fiona, what did you make of it?
Yeah, this is another one that I was looking at last night, and I thought, yeah, this is really nice and readable and digestible. This is a really nice writing style. And then I saw that it's like the foreword from Anne Handley. I thought, oh, yeah, that's right. That's why Anne is the best.
She is. We all bow. Yes, I mean, I don't know if Anne wrote the whole thing or if it's just she sets the tone and everyone at Marketing Profs kind of writes that way. I mean, there's an awful lot of it. Like the executive summary I thought was great, and then there was just this surprised us and this surprised us and this surprised us.
Yeah, that was
like
really nice.
30 pages of big surprises. And yeah, I don't know if it's just at the moment I have a really short attention span, but I kind of got what I needed out the first two pages, I think.
Yes, I have to say, I didn't get all the way to the end. But I really like that, actually, because normally you'd see, like, key takeaway, this, but they've got, like, yeah, this surprised us, and, like, pull out a stat. So it's just a really nice writing style, and really easy to read.
In 10th place, Danfoss Smart Store ebook and articles.
Well, this is awkward because we don't usually talk about content that we wrote, but Lasse Lund insisted that this ebook, which atomizes into a series of articles, was his content of the year. Here's what he had to say about it.
Hey, David, Lasse here from Danfoss. And yeah, I chose the Smart Store ebook that we collaborated on this year as my standout piece. And I think that the reason that I chose it was that it was a really well integrated piece of content where we had the ebook that had the entire breadth of content in it. You could read an intro and then you could read five different articles that went into the topic in depth. But then we were able to really quickly repurpose that content and share each individual chapter on our website and take some of the stunning visuals in the ebook and redistribute them on our social media channels and incorporate them into videos and just get a lot of value out of that piece of content. And it's been really successful for us so far, and we know that that book is going to be an important part of our campaign in the coming year. And it just really stood out to me as a really well done, beautiful, and intentional piece of content, and that's why I nominated it for your competition.
Thanks for that and the nomination and the embarrassment, Lasse.
Yes, because when you say we don't normally talk about content we wrote, I think you wrote this, didn't you?
Yeah, this one was me.
did you enjoy writing it?
I really did. So the way it worked was it was a series of articles, effectively, about different aspects of energy management in supermarkets, which I know is like one of these classic B2B, oh, sounds so dull things, but, you know, the number of supermarkets in the world and the amount of energy that goes into their refrigeration and their air conditioning and keeping the lights on and that kind of thing, not to mention the fact that they're going to be one of the big providers of charging points for electric vehicles and stuff like that. They have such a huge part to play in any version of the future where we don't all die quite imminently. So that was really interesting for me. And I got to talk to real experts in each of those five areas, write kind of five standalone articles, and then wrap them up into a narrative in an ebook so that it was if you like, pre... And what's the opposite of atomized?
Now you're asking.
Well, we started with the articles and built them up into an ebook. And that was a really nice way of working. I'd be keen to do it again.
Yeah, and it sits really nicely in that whole sort of campaign, because they've got it on a page with all kinds of other content that goes around it. And there's everything there, from kind of infographics and video right down to case studies at the end. And it just, it, you know, it kind of brings you all the way through the journey, if you like. So yeah, I think they've done that really nicely.
In ninth place, The Business of Sport by NTT.
Carla Rivershaw sent this over after NTT won two awards at Turtle's Own Content Awards. It's a Turtle story building on their involvement in the Tour de France. It got great results for them too, keeping people far more engaged than their standard web content.
So the Turtle story, which I've sent you, was integrated within their Tour de France microsite and promoted on social media, client mailers, website banners and print media, among other channels. They used Turtle to craft an ebook-style story of their partnership journey with cycling's greatest race, and by piecing together blog-style articles enriched with other digital media from key spokespeople and executives within the business, as well as client spokespeople, they were able to create a holistic chronological showcase of their transformational capabilities.
Hello to you, Carla, and thank you for that clip.
So I think you had some thoughts about this one as well, because kind of turtles, your kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, I do love a turtle story. I think, I mean, for me, what I liked about it, and there's a lot of it, and I think that to really delve into it, you either have to be a big cycling fan, which I'm not, or a big fan of data, you know, and it's the sound of, you know, the listener who clearly is a cycling fan switching off in disgust. And so I think if you are a Tour de France fan, this is going to mean a lot to you, because there's so much behind the scenes. But I like the way, almost like we said with the Danfoss piece, I like the way each thing within the Turtle is like a standalone article, so you don't have to read all of it. You know, if you want to know how I get to do really cool tech stuff at the Tour de France, you can read that article. Or, you know, some of the how-to about the content, you know, or what do you do when the stadium is a country? You know, if you're people who work in those sectors, just reading those articles would probably be enough for you. And the voice seemed quite authentic. Like, it felt like bits of it were actually written by the experts that were talking, or that the copywriter that had written that up had done a nice job of not polishing it too much. So there is a lot of content there, but I could certainly see why it would resonate with the target audience, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that the nice thing about Turtle as well is you can have these like really nice big images in it as well. And so this was really nicely illustrated with some great photography.
Yeah, all the drama of the Tour de France through the lens of IT.
There you go. They should use that as the subtitle on it.
You can have that for free.
In eighth place, The Amazon Race by ABC Story Labs.
This is clever. It conveys the difficulty of succeeding as an Amazon employee through the medium of a computer game that you can't win. Frankly, I'm not sure to what extent this is B2B marketing, but it's nominated by no lesser figure than Paul from Earnest. Hi, Paul! So who am I to argue? And it definitely does get its point across. The voters seem to agree too. Fiona, did you play?
I did. I played to the end. Well, you know, as far if you could call it the end.
It's the end that you die.
Exactly. Yeah, you lose your job at Amazon. I don't know that it is B2B marketing, but it's the kind of thing that I think B2B marketers should be looking at.
Yeah.
For, you know, here's a really nice way to tell a story and bring a story to life. Because I think what ABC had done, they'd done this kind of investigative journalism into what it's like to work in an Amazon fulfillment centre. And just as a kind of teaser and to bring people into that article, they've created this like little 8-bit game. And it's the kind of thing I'd love to do for a client. You know, we don't see enough 8-bit games, I think, in B2B marketing.
Or in the world, in general.
often I think, you know, you can look at what sort of big media organisations are doing and get inspiration from there for content formats. And this is definitely one.
In 7th place, My Creative Type by Adobe Creative.
This is another one nominated by Paul at Ernest, who called it beautiful, engaging, and bang on brand for Adobe. This is a very pretty looking interactive test that asks you all manner of intriguing questions like, are you a ruler or a scribble? Intercut with amazing little animations to reveal your creative personality. I'm the visionary, apparently. Fiona, I don't know if you played.
Surprise me. I did. And it told me I was an artist, which
wow.
I hadn't considered that I might be. So I don't know whether it just has a lot of insight or whether the quiz just wasn't that I don't know. I didn't really like this one so much. I think it is very on brand for Adobe, yes, but I think there might be a little bit of style over substance here. I don't like kind of beautiful flashy things. I like massive research reports like Sophos.
Full of words. Yes. And not your bag. I quite enjoyed it. I felt that there were probably a few more questions than it needed. I wanted to get to the end and get my result.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
And then the result is I don't know. It's always nice that we found that with quizzes and things, the what kind of type are you thing does tend to work pretty well. Our what kind of copywriter are you quiz always does very well. So I'm sure the right people will have found it engaging.
Yeah, I just wonder if they got the results that they expected to get.
We should have to ask them.
Yeah.
Wow, we are halfway through the top 12 already with just the 6 best pieces of B2B content to go. It's exciting, but first I just want to draw your attention to something else that's exciting too, because next month we'll have an extended podcast special featuring interviews with several top, and I do mean top, B2B marketers. We're going to be revealing the results of our research into what prevents B2B content marketers from making the content they really want. And there's a few surprises in there. That should be a fairly big deal, and we'd love you to enjoy that with us. So that'll be out on our January podcast. Please do not miss it. Okay, advert over. Let's head into the top 6, and one that will be familiar to you, Fiona.
In 6th place, Above Us Only Stars by the Centre for Advanced Defence Studies.
This was nominated by a Fiona Campbell-Howes. Fiona Campbell-Howes, why don't you tell us a bit about why?
Yeah, and I'm quite excited that this was voted for by other people as well, because this is extremely niche stuff.
It's lovely, though.
It is lovely. And I nominated this for lots of reasons. So, firstly, because it's actually genuinely useful for me in my work. So, as a piece of, I don't know that it's marketing content, but it is definitely B2B content. I used it in my work, so it was useful. But also, it's kind of got all the hallmarks that you want in a piece of content, really, because it's original. It's original research, and it actually provides data and evidence for something that had only kind of been speculative before. So I've been writing for a long time about this whole idea of, GPS hacking, but spoofing GPS when you kind of you broadcast a fake GPS signal to something with a GPS receiver and it thinks it's somewhere else. And, there's been kind of instances of this happening in the world, but nobody really knew how widespread it was or who was doing it or why it was happening or how it was happening. And this report actually finds out who's doing it and why it's happening and how it's happening. And it presents it in a really nice kind of multimedia kind of visual way. So to me, it's like, it's really useful research, it's original, and it's presented really nicely.
Yeah, and I think the voters clearly agree with you, voting at the 6th best content in the world in 2019. That's pretty good going. And I think, yeah, it looks beautiful. It's interactive. There's a load of it. It's really, really in-depth. And, Just in its size and detail, it's quite scary. It gets across the scale of the problem quite well.
Yes, it does. And, there's even like sort of surveillance data from the International Space Station and stuff like that. I mean, it's really, it's almost James Bond level stuff. It is probably James Bond level stuff, yeah.
In 5th place, Kill the PDF by Turtle.
This one was nominated by Maureen Blandford at GiveSmart. The Turtle story itself is pretty impressive, but Maureen was more impressed by Turtle's offline protest at B2B Ignite 2019 and the way that was leveraged online.
There are a couple reasons, really, why I was just delighted to see Turtle's protest that they staged at an event for their Kill the PDF campaign. And, you know, just offline is hard. We are a little bit addicted to the data that we get online. Events are really hard to measure. It's hard to come up with cool new things to do at events. And so I think in and of itself, staging a protest about killing the PDF was hilarious. But then even more clever was the fact that they captured it and they took pictures and I think even video. And then they posted that on their social channels so people could see what was going on. Brilliant. Absolutely loved it. And that's how I saw it because I wasn't at the event. And then finally, the really cool thing was doing this super cool offline thing at an event that was a completely new idea. I had not seen that before. And then being able to put it on your digital channels so you can capture it and track it and scale it. Absolutely brilliant.
Now, I've got to admit, what do we want analytics? When do we want them now? Is a pretty catchy slogan. And I did actually have to walk past that picket line at Ignite this year. And it was kind of amusing once you worked out what it was. At first, I just thought it was some generic anti-B2B marketing protest.
You thought, finally, some recognition.
For all the evil that we do in the world.
In fourth place, what does your family think you do for a living by the marketing practice?
So, David, this one was your nomination. So do you want to tell us a bit about why?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the thing that grabbed me is, well, I like B2B marketing that speaks to the truth of what people experience in their job, doesn't varnish stuff too much, doesn't, assume too much. And I think all of us who work in B2B contexts have these conversations with people, you know, friends and family, and you're at parties and you try and explain what you do, you know. And for me, you know, that'll end up with me getting really, you know, enthusiastic about, you know, lifts or software or forklift trucks or something, you know, and you'll just see their eyes start to glaze over and they're not listening, you know. And I think everyone has that where no one knows what they do, everyone thinks it's boring. So I loved the way that it just put its finger on that thing and found just this really nice, really cute way to put that across and, you know, say, we are in the same boat as you. We experience the same thing as you do. And that's what I loved about it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And even though she's not the target audience for this, my 11-year-old daughter, the marketing practice like this, loved this. and she did the quiz not just once, but then she did the quiz again a second time. So there you are. So a hit with the 11-year-old demographic.
And here's Heather Barnett from the marketing practice. Apparently it was a hit with their audience too.
Hello, I'm Heather Barnett from the marketing practice. We're really pleased you like the quiz. So much B2B content aims at being serious and professional, but we wanted to poke fun at the fact that really 90% of the world has no clue what we do. The quiz has consistently been in the top 10 most visited pages on our website since the launch, so it's clearly struck a chord. Thanks again and have a great Christmas.
Thanks, Heather. It's great to see that fun content like this can have strong business results. And you have a great Christmas too.
In third place, Should This Exist? By Wait, What? And Quartz.
Once again, I'm not sure which bit of this is B2B marketing, the podcast or the Accenture inserts within the podcast, but it was super popular with the voters and with good reason. The podcast is fascinating stuff for a business or tech audience. Fiona, I think this is very much your sort of thing. You should subscribe if you've not done already.
Yeah, I think I will because I wasn't aware of this podcast before this, but now I've looked at it, I think, yeah, this is definitely the kind of podcast that I would really like to listen to. And I'm quite surprised that it's the only podcast that's been nominated.
Yes. We think lots of... I can think of a podcast or two that deserve to be nominated for awards.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I listen to it, so I listen to a few episodes, and truthfully, sometimes the Accenture inserts, which are more like little informational programs dotted throughout, there are three or four of them, rather than, you know, just your normal kind of sponsor advert. I thought that was a really creative way to do it. Sometimes I think it needs to make sure that they work well with the subject matter. So there was one where they're talking about dark technologies, you know, D-A-R-Q, which is like the four kinds of technologies that you think will transform the world. And and about how when they multiply, they're much more effective. And that's great, but it was in the context of a story about how the internet went wrong and various bits of the internet multiplied to each other and data and all of that thing. And in that context, it's going, yeah, you say that dark technologies, like it's a good thing, but it sounds like it's not. But okay. In other cases, it wasn't like that. And in some episodes, as interesting as the podcast is, I think the bits from Accenture are, you know, as interesting as the stuff that is around them. And that's a real achievement.
Yeah, that's cool. And it makes me wonder, do you think you'll be looking for a sponsor for this podcast?
No. Nice try.
If anybody out there would like to sponsor this podcast, get in touch with David.
Yeah, and I'll say no. So it's the exciting moment when we reveal the winner and the runner-up.
In second place, the Linode Cloud Platform product page.
I've got to admit, I love the fact that amid all the fancy ideas and the expensive production of all the B2B content in the world, the second best piece of B2B content this year is a product page on a website. And thanks to Andre Spiteri from Maverick Words for nominating it.
Hey, this is Andre Spiteri from Maverick Words, and I've nominated Linode's product page because it's really clear and simple, and I love it.
Now, product pages aren't usually the most compelling content, but this one does take a super complex techie subject and makes it clear and engaging. It just goes to show what you can do when old school product marketing learns the lessons of new school content marketing.
Yeah, no, I love this as a product page. So it is really clearly written, but it doesn't dumb down. It's kind of engaging and enjoyable to read, but, you know, it's aimed at techies and you can feel like it's not patronising to
at
techies.
At all.
I like the fact that it had a sort of, there's an illustration on it of a you know, potential user of Linode, and it was a woman. So, you know, that's nice.
Sure.
Breaking stereotypes is good. And I really like the little, the icons, the illustrations that they've got to go with it as well. It all just all kind of ties together really nicely on that page. So I think that's a good nomination.
And so now we come to the big one, the best B2B content of 2019, and it is a dating app for cows.
In first place, Tudder by Hector Agritech.
This one was made by the Octopus Group, so here's their CEO, John Lonsdale, to tell us about it.
Hi, I'm John Lonsdale from Octopus Group. Have a read of our Tudder case study. It was a great campaign to work on and definitely the best I've ever been involved in. It's a great example of using B2B storytelling to tell a really interesting story, using humour to give people a smile but get a serious story across.
This one makes absolute sense to me. Farmers are actually super technical in practically every other aspect of how they work. So Hector's online platform mostly needed to get attention and get its benefits across. Building a working dating app does seem a bit extreme, but it reached 1.3 billion in print media and became one of the top 10 business apps in the world in the week of its launch. So as jokes go, this one was pretty profitable. Fiona, did you download and have a swipe?
I have not downloaded it, and had a swipe.
But you looked at the case study.
I have looked at the case study, and I have, you know, they've won all the awards for this, and rightly so, because, I mean, this is just, it's just a really great concept. And I think it is interesting, actually, because this is a kind of high concept thing. So Tinder for cows, you know, you get the whole thing across in three words. It's the second high concept thing we've had, because we've had Kill the PDF from Turtle as well.
Sure.
And it just shows how that, like, really simple, attention-grabbing concept, but backed up with actual kind of weight beneath it, can be really, really successful. So, you know, hats off to Octopus Group, because I think that's a really good campaign and content idea.
Absolutely. My absolute hero is whoever it was that was sitting in a meeting, took a deep breath, waited for a conversation to stop and say, "Hi, so why don't we do Tinder, but for cows?" You know, and they go, "Yeah, yeah, well, like as an April Fool thing." And then go, "No, no, we actually make it and release it in the App Store."
Yeah, no, I think it's brilliant. So yeah, yeah, well done. Well done, Octopus Group, for that.
Sure. It's bold, it's different, it worked. It's not what you'd usually expect to see in the best content of 2019, but maybe that's precisely the point. I agree. Congratulations, Hector Agritech. Congratulations, Octopus Group. And congratulations, Tudder. And there you have it, the best of B2B content 2019. Thanks to everyone who nominated and everyone who voted. Fiona, do you think it's been a vintage year?
I think it's been a really good year. And, you know, there's been quite a lot of thinking lately about, you know, content marketing's been going on for a long time and it's, you know, getting kind of formulaic now. But this just shows that there is loads of really nice, really fresh, really original content out there that people are still making, and it's really nice to see.
Absolutely. I love the fact that anything is content now. You know, and you know, anything that people use and consume in the marketing is content. So, you know, we've got a, you know, you've got a podcast, you've got a product page, you've got an app, you know, as well as the more, you know, kind of traditional sort of, you know, PDFs or interactive turtles and long pages and that kind of thing. It's just, you know, having the idea to get the message across. And then finding the format that lends itself to that, which is exciting stuff, I think. And that is all we have time for. Remember, listener, next month is our special edition. We surveyed 105 B2B marketers and content producers about their frustrations. And let me tell you, they did not hold back. You do not want to miss it. In the meantime, you can send us a voice memo, if you'd like, on podcast@radix-communications.com. It's working now, I promise. Or you can stalk us on Twitter @radixcom, or sign up for our monthly copywriting advice at radix-communications.com/insights. All that remains is for Fiona and I to wish you a great festive season and a wonderful new year.
Goodbye.
Bye.